On today's Tech Bytes, we explore SR Linux, the network operating system developed by today's sponsor, Nokia. Why should you care about the network OS running in your data center? Nokia designed SR Linux to support automation, orchestration, and customization. So we're going to dig into SR Linux's support for Yang and GNMI and how that ties into northbound orchestration platforms, how SR Linux provides streaming telemetry, and Nokia's development kit that lets you customize this Linux-based network OS. Our guest is Igor Giangrossi. He is Senior Director of Consulting Engineering at Nokia. Igor, welcome to the podcast, and let's start with SR Linux support for Yang and GNMI. Yang is a standard for data modeling. GNMI is a popular mechanism for changing and deleting network device configs. What are the outcomes that I get by having these standards baked into SR Linux?
So the basic idea we had here was to eliminate that perception that vendor gnosis are a black box. So we wanted to make it very easy to integrate and open it up as much as possible. Obviously, from the name, you can see that we began by using Linux. So Linux is a very familiar operating system. Mm-hmm. So you can essentially just see the router or switch just like a compute node, and it makes it familiar to anybody that's used Linux before. We also transformed all the applications into its own individual processes with 100% model-driven data. So both state and configuration are all installed in an MPAR database. So this database is widely available for querying and writing. And the data model that we use in that database is Yang. So there's a lot of opinionated people about data models. We use Yang because it's the most widely used in networking.
I think the value of Yang is partly to do with the fact that it's standardized. You get a whole bunch of standardized, the IETF, for better or for worse, that's the direction that they took, you know, to explain the abstractions to networking devices. And reusing those makes sense and also means that everybody knows what you're talking about when you talk about Yang in networking today.
Exactly, 100%. Yeah. And all the vendors have their own Yang models. We have our own, but there's also OpenConfig, which is some customers want to use OpenConfig just because it normalizes the data model across any vendor. And we have a very neat implementation of OpenConfig as well with wide support that if customers want to do that, they can do so. And then the biggest question is, okay, I have all of this data inside the box. How do I access that data? And there's where the transport protocols and the APIs come. GNMI, you mentioned, is just one of them. We like GNMI because it provides us a little bit more performance over others because of its binary nature, and gRPC has some advantages there, but also NatConf could be another way of accessing that data from the box.
Okay, so you do support NetConf as well because that's often paired with Yang.
Right. You can use NetConf if you want. And then the next question is, okay, I can access all of that data natively, which is awesome, but some people really like some abstraction layers and they're used to some existing open source tools such as Ansible or Napalm. So we made sure to also write drivers for some of those so that anybody that's using those frameworks can easily integrate SR Linux into their systems.
Okay, so this isn't just about following standards. There are outcomes here that you're hoping to enable for customers.
Right, exactly. We wanted to make it the most open and the most and the easiest possible to integrate and not tie specifically to a single method or a single API or a single software framework. So whatever you want to make use of, you can use of that. That is not the limiting factor for you to integrate SR Linux into any of the systems.
Well, I think the secret here, that from a business point of view, if you're a senior architect, you might already have a number of automation or orchestration tools in play. You might have, NetBox. You might have some Ansible and Python left over from when you first started doing automation. You might be using, Intential Glueware. You might be working with, any one of those types of platforms that's doing the orchestration. And I think what you aren't saying out loud here is that you're compatible with all of those. It doesn't, as you want. You don't want to be, like some of the other vendors are saying, no, we don't want to invest our resources in all of the northbound APIs. We don't want to support everything because we want to take those profits, or maybe because they're not very good at writing software, and it's too hard for us to test it and, whatever. We don't want to support it or whatever. But you're saying you're pretty much going to support all of the possible options so that Nokia's SR Linux and the devices that it runs on are available for any of the tools that you want to use. Almost, well, maybe not any. That's a bit of a broad, but you know, you get the general thrust is it'll be more widely available.
Exactly. We cannot tell customers to re-architect their own applications just because they're introducing something new. Right. And that is what's driven these decisions of integrating to everything.
Well, you can, but your customers might not stay with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, yeah. But I mean, that's part of it. But also the fact is that, you know, Nokia, let's be honest here, Nokia is a challenger in this segment. You need to enter this market and demonstrate that you've got something that your competitors don't. And this is one of the key value props that you give to customers.
Sure. And point proof of that is that we also have our own system called a Fabric Service System. Mm. And if customers want a vendor specific tool, we can provide them that. But we don't make that a mandatory component in using SR Linux. That's one of the options, our own tool also valid here.
That's pretty refreshing in 2024. You don't have custom hardware and custom software to work with your custom intent-based automation tool. How refreshing.
Right. The intro I mentioned, SR Linux also supports streaming telemetry. First, let's kind of nail down what Nokia means by streaming telemetry, and then what are the use cases for that data coming off the boxes?
Sure. Probably everybody listening to the podcast, I think, should be familiar with streaming telemetry, but in a nutshell, it is a change of paradigm, right? In the old days, and I think everybody here went through that. It shows our age. We would pull information from the equipment whenever we wanted to check for something. And that is a very resource-consuming task and has a lot of scaling problems and collectors and things like that. So there was a movement from having to pull information from the network to the network actually send all the information that you actually want to collect to some centralized data lake, right? And then once you have all of the data in a single repository, it makes it easier for you to analyze that data, or you can say data analytics if you want. You can even use some more advanced techniques like even machine learning and collect baselining and things like that. So it gives you a lot of opportunities to massage that data and understand that data. So that is really what we intend with the streaming telemetry, is essentially getting all that data, or the most important data at least, from the network and sending to a central repository where you can further analyze and make whatever use you want from that.
Can I choose which telemetry points I want to come off the box?
Yes, and that was one of the design assumptions that we have here, which is 100% of the data of the state is on a database. It's called Impart database. So every single data point in there can be streamed there's a separate process that streams all the data from the database. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, we're going to talk about extensibility later, is that even if you want to build your own application or agent that performs some sort of task and creates some data points, those data points from your application also become instantly streamable. Yeah. So you can actually create some data points that matter to you and start streaming that using the same configuration as you would for any system native data point.
Now, there's one thing I just want to draw out here is we've done other shows with you where we talk about the silicon inside your boxes, and particularly the FPCX silicon and ASIC that is a whole new version of this. And it has the capability to stream telemetry at a very high speed. Not just the ASIC, but the whole chassis. Because all of your chassis are new and done recently, and because SR Linux is a brand new network operating system, you've actually got the ability to stream at scale. You can have lots of streaming telemetry and send it all over the place. And that's not necessarily something your competitors can do.
Right, exactly. So when we designed FPCX, we designed that with the thinking that streaming telemetry is going to be an essential component of every network. Mm. And we added not only on the chip itself, but on the system, as you rightly mentioned, the ability to stream a high number of data points through GNMI without impacting the performance. We obviously run SR Linux on other chipsets, other off-the-shelf chipsets from Broadcom, both DNX and SGX. So we use the ASIC capability to the best possible, but obviously with FPCX, we insert an advantage there with more performance.
we talked before about using off-the-shelf Linux or using Linux so that we know what we're doing. And from a business point of view, that means your help desk and your engineers know how to move around the system before you move into the Nokia specific or the network operating system part specifics. But what if I want to start using Linux because it's Linux? Like if I want to add an agent or some sort of code to it, is it still just Linux?
Yes, absolutely. So we use an unmodified version of Debian Linux. So if you've used Debian Linux before any other Linux, you're going to be feeling very at home, very familiar. And there's a few things that we did to make sure that customers actually reduce the dependence on Nokia for extending the functionality of the OS. And we've seen this from experience all over the place in different situations. So CLI is a big one, right? So sometimes you have a show command or you have a display command or any type of command that you wish just had one more column or you wish just had one more data point so that you could actually look at something that matters for your specific network. So in SR Linux, we build the CLI to be completely open source. It's actually written in Python. It's a Python script that we give it to customers so they can actually augment the CLI themselves. If they want to create a show Greg command, if you wanted to do that, Greg, you would be able to do so.
Yeah.
And correlate data from any data point inside the database. Essentially, you're querying the database.
You just reminded me that I actually did that for a help desk person once. I wrote a command, a little script that did, and it was called show Greg, because it was to show what Greg wants to wants the answers to.
So there you go.
You laugh, but I've actually done that.
There you go. Yeah. I think we've all dealt with scraping CLIs in the past, right? That's essentially how network automation started. We would get output from the CLI, use some Perl commands to do that scraping or things like that. But now it's a lot easier. You can actually put the CLI into JSON format or any other format that matters to you, makes it easy to ingest into something else. And that specific data can be selected from anything you want in the database. So that's pretty cool. And I think that's helpful. Some customers really like this capability. And the other, which is complementary to that, is the ability to actually write other types of applications that run as Linux applications inside the operating system. So those vary in terms of usability or use case, I would say. We essentially built an SDK that is a gRPC-based SDK. So gRPC is very easy to write. All the programming languages have some sort of module to communicate in gRPC. So we don't restrict any languages to write those applications. And it allows the creation of applications that will be treated just like first-class citizens in the box. So for instance, we had a few customers that wrote their own application. One of them, which was interesting, wanted to do Pixie boots from within the top of rack and not rely on a remote server in the data center. So he essentially adapted the Linux TFTP to run in the box.
All right. So the servers in the rack could boot from the switches at top of rack.
Right. From the top of rack switch, it can Pixie boot all the servers in that specific rack. So that was one very simple application. Another one was a customer wanted to collect statistics from the boxes. He didn't want to use an intermediate collection engine for telemetry, but he actually wanted to export all of those to Prometheus directly. So we wrote a small application called Prometheus Exporter in conjunction with the customer, where Prometheus can scrape all of that data directly from the network nodes without going through an intermediate engine. Another very interesting example was a ChatGPT experiment that we did. So we thought, hey, ChatGPT is a text LLM, right? So LLM provides us a natural language. The CLI is also a text interface. What if we integrated both and started interacting natural language?
Yeah, that was more of a demo of what you could do.
Right.
I mean, partly it was kind of a cool little hack and, you know, gets on top of the API.
And exactly. And we could only do that because of the SDK, right? So yeah, we essentially go and send some information to OpenAI and get back a natural language response, which is great. So that proves the point.
Yeah, and that's part of your SDK or the Nokia Developers Kit, which people can get at. Now, one of the things I want to emphasize here is that one of the things that Nokia has done in the Packet Pusher Slack is they talk often about how easy it is to work with you. So if you're thinking this is hard or weird or that you've got to go into some mystical vendor program to get access, it's not. This is all open to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all open. There's a website called learn.srlinux.dev where you can get all of the information on SR Linux. Hmm. And there's also links to the Score channel where we actually ourselves, you're going to get direct response from a lot of Nokia folks that are on the Discord channel to answer your questions, to have discussions, to even get sometimes some feature requests out of the traditional ways. So we try to build a community around it to make it not only easier in the product itself for people to use, but actually to have human support around it, which is what at the end makes or breaks it, right? So you're only as good as the people who are working with the product and understanding that product.
Okay, which leads me into a conversation around confidence building or testing and validation. So if I'm listening to this and thinking I want to put Nokia in my network, what tools are you providing to be able to say, hey, look, you can get on board this a lot easier. You don't have to necessarily go and buy, you know, $750,000 worth of kit to be able to start testing this. There are alternatives from Nokia.
Right. So we did a couple of things here that are closely tied together. So one of them is we created an open container version of SR Linux that there is no login required. You can just download that, do a Docker pull, and get that image directly to your computer, to your server, and use it. And in order to make it easier to build some of those labs, we actually started a project that became an open source tool later called Container Lab. Mm-hmm. And Container Lab is really a vendor neutral network simulation tool. So it provides you with support for a lot of different types of nodes that can run into there. Last time I counted, we were close to 30. Maybe we surpassed 30 already. All major vendors are there, even some smaller vendors are supported. So you can effectively build a lab with any type, almost any type of network operating system, including SR Linux, including SROS, which is the other Nokia operating system. Yeah. And it makes you build that lab as a code. So you actually describe all of that lab as code. Which is important because it makes labs replicable and also makes labs portable. So you can actually test something, package that, and send to somebody, hey, look at this lab at this current state. I'm having this problem. Take a look, see if you can figure out yourself. And that person will spin up the lab and look at the lab exactly in the way that the other person wanted to. It's very useful. It enables also something that is not widely used in networking many times, which is testing your changes to your network before you actually go and do them in production.
Mm. Yeah, I think the key there for me is that A, I can emulate Nokia devices, but I can also emulate what's actually in my data center or in my network, in my backbone. Right. So if I'm running a bunch, if I'm thinking, you know, maybe my next switch app purchase would be some Nokia SR Linux devices, then I could actually take the code out of my existing network, take the configuration, drop it into a container lab and start building up my confidence that I could do this, do that. If you want to do some VXLAN, off you go. You want to run some automation tools or extend your automation tools to work on top of, you can do that all in a test environment that's free and open.
Right, exactly. That's the idea. And we've had a lot of very good feedback from the community around this. There's also a Discord channel for Container Lab with even specific channels for some of the biggest other networking vendors there where people are not using Nokia at all, which is totally fine. That was the idea to build a tool that is open for everybody. And it's been very nice. We recently expanded Container Lab to scale a lot more, integrating that to Kubernetes. It's called Klabernetes. And we keep adding features literally every month.
What I like is it's named exactly the way it is. It's not called you know, Nokia's Mystic data center tool. It's just called Container Lab because it's a network lab tool full of containers.
Just, nice and simple.
It's a really interesting way to do that sort of thing. And it's really, the community is thriving, by the way. I've had multiple pieces of feedback. Nokia is really giving something to the community here. So if you haven't looked at Container Lab for your labbing, you might want to consider it. I think the last topic I wanted to talk about, Igor, before we sign off is automation is still, like, it's there, but it's not quite taking off. And part of what I think you're trying to do here is get that, you know, get that off the ground and let people do more automation.
Right. And that's exactly the idea. There's a lot of reasons that this hasn't taken off. In fact, there was a whole event end of last year with which we participated, Packet Pushers participated as well, where we discussed some of that. And our idea with SR Linux was to try to remove the barriers from the network OS as much as we could, so that people could actually start using all of their ideas without a limiting factor on the technology side, right? Mm-hmm. So if they wanted to do some monitoring, they could do some monitoring. If they want to do configuration, could do configuration. If you wanted to go all the way and do some closed loop automation, you can all go all the way and do it. And what's interesting here is that we've seen a lot of uptake in automation in most of the SR Linux customers. I think if we look through our customer base, all of them have some sort of automated feature working with the OS. So I don't think there's any of our customers for SR Linux that hasn't used an automation feature in the system, which points to the fact that it really is meeting our objectives there. So that's really great to see. And we expect that, you know, we see more and more cases and start growing that, not only SR Linux, but actually network automation community as a whole. Because I think if you look at data centers specifically, comparing storage and compute automation to networking, network is still far behind, and we need to bridge that gap.
Oh, so I wouldn't say that. And you obviously haven't looked at storage automation lately. I wouldn't be too confident about that. Networking's not doing great, but you know, we're keeping up at least with the others, I think.
All right, well, that does wrap up our time with Nokia. Igor, thank you for being with us. And if you're curious about SR Linux, you want to get your hands on it, once more time, that URL is learn.srlinux.dev. That's learn.srlinux.dev. We'll have that link and others in the show notes that accompany this podcast, including, I'll just mention, a deep dive into Container Lab with the creator of Container Lab on our new Network Automation Nerds podcast. And that is a two-part episode. Those links will also be in the show notes that accompany this podcast. Thank you, Igor, for joining us. And thanks to Nokia for being a sponsor. And as always, thank you for being a listener. You can find this and many more fine free technical podcasts and our community blog and our community Slack channel at packetpushers.net. You can hear us on Spotify. If you would rate us on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate it. That really helps. And last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.